Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At with the old, in with the new. That sounds like the title for a New Year's sermon, doesn't it? But it's not going to be a New Year's sermon. Instead, I want to reflect on the passage from Isaiah today. Now, I don't know how people voted last fall, but I suspect that a majority of our congregation, and probably a large majority of our congregation, voted one way. And people may not be happy with the way things are going right now. If I am misspeaking, please let me know. But, pardon my language, what the hell is going on? So, this notion of retirement is just a vague concept that I don't think about, particularly after the stock market tanked last week. And many of you know, I love history. And I know enough history to know that Mr. Smoot and Mr. Hawley were wrong the last time we tried tariffs. Bad idea. And I could just add to the list. And you just wonder, what is going on? When will Congress grow a spine? Where the hell are the Democrats? What is the point of Cory Booker standing up and talking for 25 hours in the Senate? We're going to hell in a handbasket. There's no hope. We should give up. No. So you may think we've got it bad. But think about the ancient Israelites, those exiles in Babylon. Think about that. They were in exile. And yet they heard this prophecy from Isaiah. Now, I'm going to go a little bit off in the weeds here. We believe that this part of the book of Isaiah is the second Isaiah. If you want to get technical, it would be called Deutero-Isaiah. But it was ascribed to the great prophet because it seemed to fit with his message. And he was telling the people that God was with them. So think about it. They looked back to the past and things were great and everything was hunky-dory back when they lived in Israel and Judah. And there's a reminder of the power of God. This was the God who led you out of Egypt. This was the God who led you through the sea. And after he offers that reminder, he tells them, don't look to the past. It's over. It is done. Look to the future. God is at work. Now, you may wonder, where is God in everything right now? And I did not consult with Christy before I said this, but I'd like to offer her and listen as an example of God's work in our community. Think about that. People helping out other people. You may not be a religious organization, but you are doing, from our perspective, the Lord's work. And it was great to hear that story about Alicia. But what kind of future are we looking towards? Think about that. What kind of future are we looking towards? So we had some young people in our congregation today. It's great to see them. Lots of enthusiasm and energy, vim and vigor. You remember when you felt that way? Really? Long ago. Why? So during Lent, and I talked about this during the children's moment, we can get kind of glum and maybe a bit moody and depressed. And we're looking for a sign of hope. Think about that. We are looking for a sign of hope. And I've said this before, and I will say it again. Christianity is built on hope. Think about that. In just 2 weeks, we are going to celebrate Easter. And some of you will be here for the sunrise service. And I will confess that I wonder, and I have for many years, why we have a sunrise service. Why? Oh, I can offer the theological and liturgical reasons for doing it. But part of me thinks that Jesus would like to be sleeping at the crack of dawn. But what happens on Easter is so big that we should want to get up at the crack of dawn. Think about that. Think about what God did for us on Easter. Now, if God could resurrect Jesus, if God could turn back death, who are we to give up? So you may not be happy with the way things are going right now. Then work for something different. There are a lot of good people in our community. I'd say you're all good people. But any one of you can make a difference. You don't need to wait for some politician to step up to the plate. So if I can mix my metaphors here, I'm going to talk a little bit baseball. But as a long-suffering Red Sox fan, there's some hope this season. We actually have some good pitchers. We actually have some good batters. Sox ownership is actually spending some money on players who can play the game. And I remember telling Chip many years ago that he was living through the golden age of Boston sports, that it was not the norm for the Patriots and the Bruins and the Celtics and the Red Sox to always be doing well. I remembered when the Red Sox lost every year. I remember the heartbreak of 1975. And I remember the frustration of 1986. But as a Red Sox fan, I didn't give up. Now, I will confess, I was not always a Red Sox fan. I grew up outside of New York. And no, I was not a Yankees fan. I rooted for the Mets. Why did someone just hiss? I did not live in South Jersey. But I think I was a Mets fan in part because my parents had grown up as Giants and Dodgers fans. I inherited their bias against the Yankees. And when my mother retired to New England, she was really excited because she could talk about how she didn't like the Yankees. And that was very gentle. But there's hope in that. There is hope in the message of Scripture. Listen to those words from Isaiah. And Deb, you read them beautifully. But I tend to see God as being a little bit more head up. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord. And I hear the old translation, thus saith the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare in my praise. That is the God of Israel. That is the God we claim is our God. That is a God who is making a new way. I cannot tell you what that new way is going to look like, but I would like to think that new way involves our taking care of our own, taking care of our neighbors. Later on, we'll receive the communion offering, and your gifts during that offering will help to support those in need in our community. A word about John and today's lesson from John, and it relates to what I read from Isaiah. This is probably one of the most abused passages in Scripture. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. What is Jesus telling us there? That some people are always going to be poor? And that's the way it's supposed to be? I don't think so. No one is ordained to be poor. I think Jesus was focusing more on the fact that his end was coming. And those people in need will still need to be taken care of. But Jesus would die. So I talked about this during the children's moment, about missing our opportunity. And I like you all enough, I'm not going to sing at you, but I believe there is a big song in Hamilton, the musical, about not missing your shot. Don't want to miss your shot. So yes, you can call up Christy tomorrow morning. I presume you're in the office tomorrow, Monday, and you can volunteer. And many of our congregants do. Maybe you'll call up The Haven or some other local nonprofit. Maybe you'll get in touch with John and say you're ready to volunteer at the church. Your efforts make a difference. And yes, I will ask you for your cash later on during the service. And your gifts of cash make a difference too. But what is really special about this place is the amount of time and energy and creativity you all devote to God's work here. Go think about that. So I understand that there were some protest marches yesterday. I'm seeing one person nod, see a second person nod. What does marching in the street offer? What is the follow-up going to be? What actions are people going to take? Who's going to run for office? Who is going to organize an effort that will shape our community? It could be you. Any of you. You could run for public office. We actually have a member of our community here who's a public servant. She can tell you how to run for office. Just don't run for her seat on the city council. But you can't leave the future to someone else. Don't let it just happen to you. So in a few moments, we're going to share the Lord's Supper. And I hope everybody's going to come to the table with joy and enthusiasm. And you may wonder whether you are entitled to have the elements. Guess what? None of us is entitled to have the elements. If we were to have some kind of purity test or holiness test, none of us would qualify. We have all sinned. And yet, Jesus welcomes us at the table. Think about that. That forgiveness is offered to us all. So the world may not work that way. Why? That is a good question for us to ponder. And then to ask what we can do to extend forgiveness. Because each of us can benefit from that. So today is a good day for us to say, out with the old and in with the new. God is making a new way. Let's keep our eyes opened and watch for what God is doing. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this community, and we thank you for the work you have called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.